This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
To Acts chapter 2. How many knew when you came to church today, when you were coming, that today was Pentecost Sunday? Can I see your hands? Just a couple. My Lord. Okay. In our life as a Christian today, there are some dates throughout the year that is very significant and very important as a believer today, as a Christian, but also as the body of Christ, as the church. Like Easter, or we call it Resurrection Sunday, is very important to the Christianity today. So is Pentecost Sunday. Okay? Pentecost Sunday means and has a lot of significance for us today. And so that's what we're going to talk about here a little bit today. Amen. So as we open up our Bibles to Acts 2, today we celebrate this day. It's a celebration day. Amen. And today I want to ask us, what does this day mean to you personally? Now, some of you didn't even know it was, but now you know, okay? As you know, it's Pentecost Sunday. What does that mean to you today as a believer? You know, what do I, when I know it's Pentecost Sunday, what significance is that for me today? I want you to think about that today. What is Pentecost? Okay? What happened on Pentecost? Let me read to you what the dictionary says about Pentecost. This was pretty interesting. Even our dictionary has a very good explanation of the day of Pentecost. It says this: it is a Christian festival celebrated on the seventh Sunday after Easter, commemorating the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles. Wow. When I read that, I said, man, that is pretty good. Amen. That's the dictionary. Okay, let me read that again to you. A Christian festival celebrated on the seventh Sunday. It's like 50 days or 49 days after Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And what are we doing? We are commemorating or remembering, praise God, the descent of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost upon the apostles and the disciples back in Acts 2. Okay? So every year, the days change a little bit. Today, of course, we know is June 7th. Last year, it probably was June 6th, if I remember right. Okay? Because the days change every year in our calendar. All right? So that's what we want to talk a little bit about here today. And my title to you is All Were Filled. I'm going to say that again. All, somebody say all. All were filled. All. Now, I don't think we need a dictionary today to understand what the word all means. How many know it means everybody in this room today? Right? All. No exceptions. All. I like that word. All of us. Amen? All were filled. Praise God. Let's look at the scriptures here and see what we find out. We're going to read today Acts 2, 1 through 4, and 17 and 18. And we're going to go from there into communion today. Okay, I'm going to try not to get us out too late because we have so much going on this afternoon. All right? Praise God. Let's read here. Acts 2, verse 1. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." We're going to read it all and then come back. "And suddenly," praise God, I like this word, "suddenly there came a sound," hallelujah, "from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled," there's that word again, "all the house where they were sitting." Verse 3. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire." Oh, hallelujah. "And it sat upon each of them." Each of them, meaning all of them. Praise God. Verse 4, "And they were all," there it is again, "all filled with the Holy Ghost." Oh, hallelujah. Somebody ought to be getting excited here with me a little bit. Amen. And what did they do? And they began to speak. Hallelujah. With other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, hallelujah. This is the birth of Pentecost. Amen. Years ago, here, this is written. This is the account of when what? The Holy Spirit descended, as the dictionary we just read about, descended upon the disciples of that day, the apostles of that day, okay? As we look at these scriptures here, I want us to look at a few things that we need to get out of this, okay? You've probably read this many times. I've read this many times, but we must understand the significance of how important this event was. And even today, that we, as we had this morning, we had a Pentecostal move of the Spirit. Amen? That's what that was. Because of what happened here, years ago, we could have a move that we had earlier today here, that the Holy Spirit was taken over. Amen? Some of us were speaking in other tongues. How many heard it? Alright? So, as we look at these scriptures, it says in one that when this day of Pentecost fully came, it says they were with all with one accord in one place. This is such an important verse as we study this a little bit today, that Pentecost came because they were united, praise God. They were, it says here, all with one accord, okay? That doesn't mean a Honda Accord. I want you to know that today, okay? It's not talking about a car. Anybody have a Honda Accord here? See? Oh, Lord. I didn't even know that. I knew you had a Honda, but I didn't know it was an Accord. All right? I'm trying to make you laugh here a little bit, church. Amen? It's talking about what? Unity. They were here with one Spirit, one accord. They were in one place, and they were there for one reason. Amen. You came today for one reason, I hope. Amen. You didn't come to see what kind of suit I wore. Even though me and Philip, we always have a good time. He looks at my suit and I look at his suit. And sometimes I tell him, you know what? You look so good, I think you should preach today. But he never goes for it. One of these days he's going to say, okay, I will. Amen. So you came for one reason here today. Amen. You didn't come to see how your sister's hair is, you know, how she made it up. Praise God. Oh, you look so nice. And we do look nice. We should look nice when we come to church, right? But we come for a reason, and they came for a reason, all right? Now, Jesus had given them some instructions before. If you just go to the chapter 1 of Acts, verse 4 and 5, Jesus gave them some instructions. What were those instructions? Let's look at it real quick. In verse 4 of chapter 1, it says, "And being assembled together with them," this is Jesus now, he says, "he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." This is our Jerusalem here today, amen. "But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." Jesus tells them, you're going to have to wait for a promise. Okay, when I leave, you got to wait, you got to tarry, you need to look for this promise. And these disciples and these apostles in chapter 2, they were in one place waiting for the promise. How many like promises today? Amen. And they're really good when you keep them. Amen. Don't just make a promise, but keep your promise. How many know God keeps His promises? Jesus here, He tells them, you need to wait for this promise. And then look at verse 5. What's the promise? It says, "For John truly baptized with water." How many remember John the Baptist? He was the baptizer. He baptized people, right? But he says, "But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not days hence." So what was the promise? You're going to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's going to change your life. He was telling the apostles and the disciples of that day, you know what? You need to tarry. You need to wait. Because as you do, and as you're in unity, you're in one accord, you're in one place, it's going to happen. Praise God. How many came believing that today it was going to happen here? You must. Every time you come to church, you say, Lord, I'm coming. I don't know what you're going to do, but something's going to happen. Amen. Lord, have your way. Lord, speak to me. Lord, fill me today. Amen. Really, every time we meet should be like a day of Pentecost. Because we're the believers, right? And the Holy Spirit is here. We welcome the Holy Spirit. Today was awesome. The Holy Spirit spoke through some of you. God used you to speak. Isn't that an honor today? Amen, amen. So, they were in unity. It's so important for us as Oriole Christian Assembly to be in unity, but the body of Christ, not just our church, to be in unity. We want to see revival. We want to see our nation changed. The church must be what? Unified. Amen. We must all be agreed. We must come together. Amen. Yes, we're all going to be meeting in different churches. And I understand there's different denominations today, right? We are Assemblies of God. We don't call ourselves a denomination. We are a fellowship of churches. You've heard my opinion on this. I don't like that word denomination because it really means you are separated from everybody else. We're not to be separated from our brothers at the church down the street. All right, we may not agree 100%, but as long as we agree on some of the basics, amen, the gospel, the truth, right, Jesus, you know, God will deal with the other stuff with us. Amen? So, this is what took place. Now, as we review this today, look at verse 2. It said, suddenly, that means all of a sudden. How many like suddenlies? 1 minute, you're broke. You have no money in your pocket. But then all of a sudden, suddenly, a check shows up in the mail. Suddenly, things change. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to get this today. Praise God. Suddenly, there came what? A sound from heaven. Oh, hallelujah. As of a what? A rushing mighty wind. Now, I need to break that down a little bit. I mean, when the Holy Spirit comes in, He comes in with power. How many know that? He doesn't just tippy-toe, okay, Oriole, I'm coming to visit you today. He's going to come in with power. It's going to be like a wind. Amen? Now, the Amplified Bible says it this way, and this is powerful. This rushing mighty wind, this will get you a little bit. It says it's the rushing of a violent tempest blast. Let me read that again. It's like a violent tempest blast. When that sound hit, when that wind hit, I mean, it just blew them away. Okay? How many want to be blown away today like that with the Spirit? Amen? How many know today we need a sound when we come to church? Oh, we need a new sound. Amen? We need a fresh sound. Praise God. What are we saying? We need the Holy Spirit to move in our services. We don't want to be a dead church. Amen? We need the power. We need the anointing. And that's what happened here. The anointing hit that place. Oh, hallelujah. Suddenly. So, today I want to encourage you, because you may be going through some things right now. I've been going through some things. You know, I've been attacked physically. But, you know what? Suddenly, I'm going to be healed. Some of you have been fighting difficulties. Suddenly, you're going to get healed. The problems you go through, they're not forever, church. Suddenlies are going to keep happening, right? God is going to make sure that things change for you, as long as you don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Amen? Because the sound is coming. Oh, hallelujah. This is a message that excites me today. The sound is coming, meaning the Holy Spirit's coming to move and work in your situation. Right? Oh, hallelujah. It came, and I want you to see here in verse 2, it says that it came, and it not only came in a mighty way, but it filled the house. So, it's like saying the Holy Spirit came at Oriole and it filled the church. If you don't get changed when the Holy Spirit comes, something wrong with you. Because when He comes, He fills the place, all right? You're going to get affected some way or another, amen? As long as your heart is open and you're saying, Lord, I'm open. What do you want today? I'm your vessel. Use me, Lord. Touch me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Deliver me, God. Help me. Whatever. Okay? Something's going to happen. Something happened here. And as we look at this, it says they were sitting. Did you notice that? When the Holy Spirit came and filled the house, they were all sitting. Like you are right now. Except for me. I could sit and preach, but I'm not used to doing it. I won't do that. Praise God. So, here's my point. You could be sitting today. You could be standing today. You could have your arms up. You could be yelling today. You could be quiet. You know what? The Holy Spirit's going to come. Doesn't matter what posture you're in. When He's coming, He comes. Amen? And you're going to get what you need. So sometimes you may be home on your own. You may be just praying and seeking God. You may be having your devotional time. And bam! A sound comes. Meaning, the Holy Spirit comes. You read something you needed to read. It blesses your heart, encourages you. Sets you free, changes your day. Amen? Why? Because the sound came. Suddenly. Oh, hallelujah. Wouldn't it be awesome? Suddenly, the northwest side of Chicago is changed. Right? How many know, those of you who live here, you know, I don't live here, but I've been coming here 3 years now to know our community. We need our community what? Changed. And it can happen suddenly. All right? As long as we continue to believe and trust God and continue to do what God's called us to do, suddenly He's going to do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. But He works through us. Amen? Who knows what's going to happen today at this carnival? Suddenly! Get ready, puppet team. Suddenly. Right? Oh, hallelujah. So you can be sitting. Man, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to get blessed. Praise God. Verse 3 says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues. You got to picture this. It was like cloven tongues as a fire came and it sat upon some of them. Is that what it said? It sat upon all of them, or each of them, which means all of them. So the Holy Spirit came and sat upon all of us at Oriel today. No exclusions. If you want it. Amen. These disciples, these apostles, they listened to Jesus. Jesus said, you need to tarry. How many know what tarry means? You got to wait. Wait, and you will receive this promise. Amen. You know, there's a lot of Christians today, a lot of churches, they don't have this. You know? They don't believe in this tarrying, or they don't believe in this baptism or infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it's sad. But you know what? We just got to preach the Word. Amen? We pray for the other churches that they would receive all that they have to receive. I'm just blessed today as a pastor, but not only as a pastor, but just as a believer, to know that the Lord has given me the Holy Spirit. Amen? That I was baptized many years ago in the Holy Spirit, and because of it, my life has never been the same. But there's a lot of Christians today who don't know about it, don't understand it, don't even want to know about it. Okay? Think it's taboo. You know what? How many have ever heard the doctrine out there that says, oh, the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, tongues and speaking in tongues and all the gifts, that all died when the apostles died. How many have ever heard that? That's a false doctrine, okay? We're living proof of it today. See, if you don't believe it, you won't receive it. You won't walk in it, okay? There's many churches don't believe, many Christians don't believe that healing is for today. But how many know healing is in the Scriptures? It's for today. Right? You can be healed of cancer. You can be healed of diabetes. You can be healed of whatever. Okay? Does it mean everybody gets healed? No. We understand that. God is God. We don't control it. But healing is for today. Amen? So, they wanted it. They wanted the promise. And the promise came. It appeared on all of them. All of them received Tongues of fire. Okay? Tongues of fire. You need to understand here, when we talk about fire here, fire means it's a symbol for the divine presence and power of God. You'll hear me, if you come here regularly, you hear me talk about the fire. Okay? The fire of God. Amen? The presence of God. When the fire comes, the presence of God comes. Amen? And that's what happened when the Spirit of God came upon these men and women. They received the presence of God, the divine presence of God. And when, how many know when God shows up, things happen? So when the Holy Spirit showed up, they were changed. They were filled with power. Amen. How many know today we need this power too? Especially today. Amen. I believe the world has gotten worse and worse and worse. So our power needs to get greater and greater and greater because we got to deal with this world. Amen? So important. So I feel sorry for those who don't believe in the Holy Spirit this way, who don't receive this power, because it's available for all of us. Amen? It really is. Now, let me give you a scripture here about the fire. Turn with me to Matthew 3:11 real quick. Matthew 3:11. Because there's other references that talk about the Holy Spirit and talk about the fire. Okay? They go hand in hand. And here in Matthew 3, verse 11, this is what we read. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Here's John the Baptist again. But look at the next part. He says, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. But look at the last part. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and what? With fire! When you get the Holy Ghost, fire is with it. Amen. When you receive the Spirit, you receive that fire. Amen. It's power today. Amen. It's the dunamis power of God. When you look at it in the Greek, it's called the dunamis power. How many know what dynamite is? When you blow up a stick of dynamite, there's some power going on, right? That's what lives inside of you when you got the Holy Spirit inside of you. Power! Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. This is what we have. Now look at going back to chapter 2 of Acts. It says in verse 4, and they were, didn't say again, some filled. It says, and they were all filled. All. Today, there doesn't have to be anybody that can leave here and say, Pastor Rich, I don't have this baptism, unless you don't want to be part of the all. How many know the Holy Spirit's a gentleman today? God doesn't force anything on you. You have a free will. God has given us a free will, but if we can be like this all that was here, man, our church will be powerful. No stopping us. Because we're part of this all. It says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And because they were filled, they began to speak with other tongues. Which means other languages. So some of you here today, you may be Polish. And if you get the tongues, you might speak in Italian and don't even know it. You think I'm laughing, and I am laughing. I'm joking, but it's the truth. Okay? We don't have time to read this whole segment here, but they were, when they got filled with the Spirit, they were speaking languages of other people of that day. And the people that knew those languages, they were hearing them and they were saying, they're speaking our language. How is this happening? And some of them thought they were nuts. They thought they were drunk. They were drunk, but in the Spirit. Amen? So, it says, they received these tongues, and because they received them, the Spirit had them to speak. Okay? It's not flesh when you receive the tongues. It's not your flesh. It's the Spirit in you that is speaking forth. Okay? And they're tongues of fire. Praise God. We need that fire. Amen. Now let's move on here because time is running away on us. Jump with me to verse 17 of that same chapter. of chapter 2. And while we go in there, where it says here in verse 4, it says, the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me say this to you. In the Amplified Bible, it says it this way. The Spirit gave them clear and loud, I want you to hear this, clear and loud expression. So, yes, there's going to be time that you speak in your tongues and it's quiet, but there's going to be times when you get pretty wild in it. All right, it's going to be clear and it's going to be loud expression of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes you need to really pray in the Spirit. How many know what I'm talking about today? You need to pray in that language God's given you. It's your language between you and God. Now, when we're in a service and someone gives a word in tongues, that's different. Then we believe God to give somebody else the interpretation for that tongue. That's what we're talking about on Wednesday night now. Okay, so there's a difference. We need to understand the difference. But look at verse 17. It says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days." How many believe we're getting there? Amen. Saith God, "I will pour out of my Spirit upon how much flesh?" There it is again. All flesh. That means everybody. God's Spirit is available to everybody. Amen. And He says, "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Oh, hallelujah. We need to understand this. Amen. "And your young men." I'm a young man. You're as old as you think you are today. Amen. Any young women in the house? See, I knew you were raising your hand, right? Thank you, sister. Amen. It says, young men or young sons and young women or young daughters, they're going to prophesy. And young men are going to see visions. Hallelujah. And your old men are going to dream dreams. Okay? When the Holy Spirit comes and pours out in the last days. So I don't care if you're young today or you're old, you're getting it. Amen? You're going to get something from the Holy Spirit. God is going to use you if you want to be used. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. This is good stuff. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. So, in these last days, we're going to see more of the move of the Spirit than ever before, because we are getting to that point. We're not there yet, but we're getting closer and closer to the Lord's return. How many believe that today? All right? You know, if we were to look at the clock and say 12 o'clock, you know, I think we're like quarter to 12 right now. All right, we're getting there, amen? So we need to do what God's called us to do. And if we do that, He'll return quick. But we must preach the gospel to every person on planet Earth. That's our job, okay? But look at here what it says if we go on in this verse 18. It says, "And on my servants," that means men servants, "and on my handmaidens," or women servants, any servants here of the Lord, that's us too, right? He says, "I will pour out in those days." What days? The last days are those days. Amen. And he says here, "I will pour out in those days of my Spirit." And what shall they do? They shall prophesy. So why are we having a seminar on the gifts of the Spirit and on the prophetic? Because we need to prophesy. It's scriptural. Amen. We need to learn how to receive a word from the Lord and what? Prophesy. If you're filled with the Spirit, God wants to speak to you and through you. Amen? And all the gifts. But did you notice here, in the last days, we're going to see the prophetic flow like never before. Be ready for it. God wants to do it. Okay? This is for me and you today. Now, dealing with the pouring out. What am I talking about here? When I talk about the pouring out, I'm talking about the Spirit, okay? God's going to continue to refill us, amen, as we go from day to day. Pentecost is going to continue to happen. It's not just a one-day thing. This is just the day we celebrate it because it happened many, many years ago on this particular Sunday, right? But we need this Pentecostal experience to continue to happen. That means I must continually be infilled with the Spirit. I must be continually be refreshed by the Spirit, okay? So that I can do what God's called me to do for the kingdom. It's my power source, amen? How many know today, if you wanted to come to church but you didn't have gas in your car, you could have prayed as much as you wanted and called and did everything, but if there's no gas in the car's not moving. You need gas in your tank today. The Holy Spirit is the gas. Amen? It's the power. Praise God. All right? So, these last days, this is our inheritance. We must let it continue. Now, I want to read this to you real quick, and then we're going to have communion, okay? How did the Assemblies of God Church start? I don't know if we know the history. This is such a blessing today. I want to read this to you. This is the formation or the formulation of the Church of the Assemblies of God. What happened? How did the Assemblies of God become formed? Okay? Listen. When the Assemblies of God formed in 1914, America was in the midst of a sweeping global revival. This revival was deeply spiritual and like none other of its day. Unlike many present-day revivals, this one was not planned or heavily promoted, nor was it the work of any single person or tied to any church or denomination. In reality, this was more than a revival. It was a sovereign move of God's Spirit. It was one that transcended all boundaries and reached across people of all colors, ages, and denominations. In this revival, people began experiencing the baptism in the Holy Spirit in similar fashion as that recorded in the New Testament. Like the 120 believers in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, people involved in this revival were filled with the Holy Spirit. They too began speaking in unknown tongues or languages. Outstanding miracles and signs of God's presence and anointing were openly visible. People were saved and lives were magnificently changed. Participants of this revival were given the name Pentecostals. As news of this revival spread, sightseers and news reporters came to mock and investigate this new outpouring of God. Many who came to scoff were convicted under the power of the Holy Spirit and became converts to the cause of Christ. Oh, this is good. As participants of the revival returned to their homes, they were now changed. All carried the message and reports of God's outpouring with them. Some were welcomed back, many weren't. Still others had been so moved by the Spirit that they involved themselves in full-time ministry. Problems soon arose. The mainline churches quickly rejected the new baptism phenomena. Listen to what I'm reading to you here. Those involved were asked to leave or make to feel uncomfortable in their churches. Man, this is incredible what happened here. Many were ostracized and ridiculed by their communities. Others now involved in ministry and efforts to continue the revival were isolated from friends of similar belief. Soon Pentecostal leaders recognized the need for some type of organization or framework for supporting their ministries and continuing fellowship with one another. A call went out for the Pentecostals to meet and consider the possibility of establishing a new church. However, many, having just been scorned by their former churches, didn't want anything to do with creating a new denomination. These Pentecostals felt it best for local churches to remain totally independent. Still others thought organizing a new church was the only way to continue the wonderful Holy Spirit revival. In April 1914, some 300 of the Pentecostal leaders met in Hot Springs, Arkansas, to discuss the matter. With division in the ranks, they opened a meeting with 3 days of prayer. Afterwards, they voted to organize, but not as a denomination. Instead, they chose to form themselves in what is best described as a loosely knit fellowship. A fellowship that allowed local churches the needed freedom to conduct their own ministries, yet provided the vital network of servicing the Pentecostal work of the Holy Spirit. So was born the General Council of the Assemblies of God in April 1914. Now, is that awesome or what? That's what happened almost 100 years ago, okay? Revival hit. People were filled with the Spirit just like in Acts 2, okay? And because of that, the word Pentecostal came forth, okay? So when you tell somebody, I'm a Pentecostal believer, you know what it means, okay? I am one who has been baptized and filled with the Spirit, and I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. I'm not perfect, all right? I do make mistakes, but I'm a Pentecostal believer. Be proud of it today, amen? That's our foundation. That's our heritage today, amen? This is where AG was formed, okay? And from that, you know, outshoots came out. And we have all different other churches who believe the same way as we do, but they just have a different name, okay? I don't like getting into all that about names, all right? Well, I'm from this church, or I'm from this fellowship, or I'm from this denomination. You're either a Christian or you're not today. Amen? When it's time to meet Jesus, Jesus isn't going to say, are you a Baptist today or are you a Catholic? He's not going to ask. He's going to say, have you believed in me? Did you follow me? Did you serve me all the days of your life? Amen? That's what makes us a Christian today. But we need the Holy Spirit. We need the power. So we can be what? Effective and fruitful today. Amen? Praise God. I hope this has blessed you today to get some understanding. I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to get ready to come up. And we're going to have communion. We can call the class downstairs to come up, the children, and we'll wait for them. Praise God. We want to have a time of communion before we dismiss today. Amen. They're going to get ready to do a song for us. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to read you